met in the park to do a prophetic act. And that was to walk 7 times around the memorial of the flag, which the flag represents freedom. And so we were walking and praying in silence as we walked around us. And Vicky over here kept count for us so we didn't walk 20 times. And we didn't walk 3 times, thinking it was 7 times. We went 7 times around, and then we shouted that the walls come down. And then we just praised Him and honored Him and blew our horns and yelled at the top of our lungs, the glory of God. And the God gave me a picture as we were walking around, as the walls you would think they would crumble. In old days, they didn't crumble. The Lord literally consumed them into the earth. So the walls of drug abuse, the walls of slavery, the walls of sexual abuse, of all that is being swallowed up by God in Quakertown. We have to believe that, and I believe that. When God shows me that so clearly. So anyhow, we were there praying and worshiping afterwards, and I saw a gentleman off to the side that was just sitting there watching us in the next pavilion. So I decided to go over and talk to him. You know me, I'm just not tired. I can talk to anybody. So I went over and just sat to him. He told us his story. His name's Steve. His wife, over a year ago, got hit by a car. He's now in second year of rehab. In the meantime, he lost his home. His job. He's homeless. And so we just showed him the love of God. I brought him over to the group. We just introduced ourselves. And then we asked if we could take an offering because we wanted to get him. He was going to go to the shelter the next day. We wanted to give him one night stay in the Best Western in Quakertown. So we took an offering. John doesn't even know what I'm going to say right now. So my son and Isaac and I went up to the hotel. And, you know, there isn't anything that tells you the rates. It's just going to sit there and wait. One bedroom, yes, you know, smoking, yeah, whatever. And he was so excited because he was going to get a hot shower. He was going to get a bed to sleep in. And Phil and his wife had gone grocery shopping. I don't know if Phil did, but went shopping the day before, and the Lord laid on them to buy an extra 2 bags of groceries. And they didn't know what for, but they bought them. And it was to give one of them to him. And he talked about the peanut butter and jelly and the bread in there, and about, oh, he just couldn't stop talking about it. He said, you can't imagine what you can do with peanut butter. I said, all the different things you can do to eat with peanut butter. I said, all right. But he was excited, and we stood there. And the lady said it'd be $103. So I pulled the cash out of my pocket. And I counted it. Do you know how much money we got? $103 on the nose. Give God the glory. That's just awesome. I wasn't shaking a bit. But God said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. He took care of him. So we just praise God. And we just keep praying for Steve. And then we met some other one. Sandra met a girl in the bathroom. And we got to meet her. She's on a band that's traveling around the world, around the country. And she loved the Lord, but the others didn't know the Lord. And they had a great chance to witness to that. This is what it's about. So, that is what we call mending our nets, getting prepared for the harvest. Because the harvest is coming. If you saw these little ones, these few that we see now, wait till they start. We put the nets on the right side of the boat. Wait till we see what we get then. And we have to be ready for that. We have to know how to usher them into the presence of God. It's not beating them over the head with a Bible and saying, you need to read this until you fall asleep every night. You need to love them. Just love them. Don't condemn them. Woman at the well was not condemned, right? She just tried to tell Jesus a lie, and he just wanted to correct her on that. But he didn't condemn her. Because he knew the truth. And what does the Bible say? Truth sets us free, right? He knew the truth, and that's what set her free. So, John, come on up here. We're going to... If you don't have one of these, do we have a couple extra of those? Did everybody get one? The Mindy the Nets booklet? They're back there on the table, too, if you don't get any yet. So, raise your hand if you don't have one. We'll make sure you get one. I'm sure Corp's going to head off to work, but... So let's just, I'm going to turn the lights up so you can see. And let's just turn this over. Lord, we just bless you tonight for what already is happening. And I don't know if you know this, people, but I sat back there and I looked at Noel. We don't look at each other in the eyes like that very often, but we looked each other in the eyes. And I said to him, do you realize we just went to another level? God just moved us, advanced us into a new place. That's why it was so quiet and humble in here. We didn't know what to do. He's honoring what's going on. So Lord, we just thank you and give you the glory. We want we want make us hungry tonight for what you have to feed us with through John tonight. Lord, make it so that we're just desperate for it. And God, make it apply it to our lives that we can use it for the betterment of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. So much to do. And we have all kinds of time. Amen? I'd like to... always obey what the Spirit of God tells me to do. And I do reserve the right for the Spirit of God to deviate from the outline at any time. It may not even be in there. However, we will go over all the material when we're done. So with that, would you turn to 1 Peter 5? Let's conduct a little bit of... business here for the kingdom of God and for God's saints. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, not a lion, like one, doesn't have any teeth, seeking whom he may devour. How does he do this? He does this when you carry all the cares and the worry and all of that. He wants to see to it that you're caring about everything. What are you going to do about this? What are we going to do? This, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff that keeps you from sleeping soundly at night. Now, there's a plan of the enemy, and it's laid out right there in the Word. He wants to devour you. Now, I have a purpose in this, because we're going to see, in actuality, a little demonstration of a net. I've been talking about nets. And I'm going to ask Linda to come up here. This is Linda. She's blessed. And she knows from last week to this week that she's blessed. Now, here's an interesting thing. Linda accepted Jesus in March of this year. Hallelujah. Now, here's another interesting thing. The devil seeks who he may devour. How many are familiar with the parable of the sower? Anybody? Raise your hand if you know what that's about. Jesus said you can't go very far in the kingdom if you don't know what that's about. Because the whole kingdom works this way. Sower sows the word into our heart. The enemy comes in five ways. Persecution, affliction, for the word's sake. Cares of the world, for the word's sake. Deceitfulness of riches, for the word's sake. So that he can choke the word. You said four, you said five, you only said four. Now there's a fifth way, okay? Desire for other things. Chokes the word, causes it to be unfruitful. Now, if you pay attention, you're all tonight going to learn a life-changing lesson. Okay? In regards to prayer, in regards to the body of Christ, in regards to the plan of God when it is operating. Okay? Now, Linda, we're familiar from last week, the issues. And so she came tonight and she walked up to me and said, I'm the blessed one. Glory to God. Amen. Now, tell them.
Oh. That's all right. I am the blessed one.
How many agree? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, I know what the enemy's trying to do to her. And so do you. I just told you. Now, he doesn't play favorites either. But one of the things you have to understand is the enemy follows the word of God around. He doesn't follow you around. The moment you have the word within you, he's on your tail. Because it's the word of God that he is deathly afraid of. And he's so afraid that the word of God will get planted in your good heart and grow up and bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold and absolutely wreak havoc on his game. He's scared that you might actually receive the word and with patience, endurance, keep it and not give it up no matter what. And he knows at that point that he has got a long problem on his hands. And his name is the long prop. Vinny and Vicky are a long problem on Satan's hands. Pastor Bruce is a long problem. Long. We're all going to be on whole side when he gets tossed in forever. All right? Now, here's the thing. We prayed for her last week. And we should. Now, as she's sharing with me, and here's the thing about praying. 75% of all prayer is listening. 25%, and I'm going to say this lovingly, is running our mouth. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, me. See, the deal is God knows everything. We have to tell him. Amen. We just have to tell him we know the answer. Amen. Right? Jesus even said, I don't say anything I don't hear the Father say. I don't do anything I don't see him do. Jesus himself, okay, never came up with anything of his own to say. The Father in me doeth the work. Now, we're the body of Christ. Amen? We're God's body on earth. And so I said, Lord, what can we do for Linda? What do you want done? Now, I'm going to ask you, you saying you can't hear? Listen, I want all of the ladies to close your eyes. Now listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you and is going to say to you, you need to stand for the assignment that's about to come. Jesus has an assignment. Now, if that's you, stand. Okay, good. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Perfect. Stay standing. Now, we're going, and he said to me, form a net. Now, this is not starting a ministry. This is not starting anything that may happen again. This is the Spirit of God meeting a need, answering a prayer, forming and allowing the body of Christ to do its thing. Linda, when she's hurting and suffering, we do too. All right. Now, here's the assignment. And I'm not going to force you into the assignment. I'm going to declare the assignment. And if you don't believe it's something that you're going to be able to be faithful to complete the assignment, then you can sit down. So I'm giving you an option to weigh it. I don't want anybody to think they were tricked into anything. Amen? No tricks. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, still standing. All right, here's the assignment. Linda needs encouragement. She needs the word. She needs help. And each one of you are going to take a day in which you're going to call her. You're going to talk to her. You're going to encourage her. And one thing you're not going to allow her to do, listen to me, is talk about her cares.
Right. Amen.
Say that.
Amen.
Amen. You're going to spoon feed her the word. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to get from the Lord that morning what you're to give her. Amen? How many know the Holy Spirit is in charge? He can give you the right thing for her to hear that day. Now, each one of you, you're gonna take a day, a Monday. I got Monday, I got Tuesday, I got Wednesday. You're gonna call her, and you're gonna share with her. You're gonna allow her to share with you. You're going to encourage her. You're going to plant that word. You're going to water that word. And you're going to put a beating on the enemy. He isn't getting her. We will fight for her. How do we fight? With the word of God. And the word of God wins the battle. Now, what's important is this. It isn't, Brother Don will attest and most other people, I'm one that believes in praying, okay? Absolutely. But it isn't just the prayer. It's hearing God and doing what Jesus says to do. Now, This may never happen again. This may be the one time. But this is what she needs. This is what God is having us to provide for her as the body of Christ. There shouldn't be a day go by, and this is how long you're going to do it. And then you say, I've been doing this forever. No. Okay, 30 days. 1 month. That means each one of you are upping for three times. 10? Three times. All right. Those who don't want to do it, or you can't, or it's undoable, you can sit. Everybody good? We got nine? Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Now, she earlier with me cast the care of her family, her daughter, everything on the Lord. And she understands that. And she knows the Lord has it. Now, this is your starting point. Okay? So, this is going to start tomorrow, which would be June what?
21st.
Hannah, can you keep the calendar? All right. And so, what we're going to do is we're going to, what's tomorrow's date, 21st? Who takes June 21st? Over there. 22nd. Behind you. 23rd. Back there in the pink. 24th. Over here, Vicky. Are you up to date?
24th, Vicky. Okay.
You got the 24th, Vicky? 25th. Twenty-six? 27? Where are we at?
We're at 27. We've corrected 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All right. 27th?
Yeah, we got corrected for 27.
28. Back there. Which one's got the 28th? All right, then 29, Mrs. Landis.
Mrs. Landis.
Oh,
Mrs. Landis, okay. I'll put it down to Mrs. Landis.
Yeah, you can do that. They give you the email. You can email it. Sure. So where are we, at the 30th? All right, so did we do nine yet?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yes.
All right, then it repeats over.
For 30 days.
Right. Are we good?
You can sit. Amen. Thank you.
Now, if you don't call, and Hannah will send out the emails, you give her your the email. Isn't this great? Years ago, we emailed. It's wonderful. Give the email addresses, and if you don't call, Linda, you call them. Okay? But I know all of you will. You can be seated. We have to learn and understand when the fight is on, we go to battle. And the fight is on over her. We don't know what. A year from now, she may go into a hospital and just clean it out and heal everybody that's ill. Oh. kind of disturb their finances, but so what? Amen? So there's that time where you say, Lord, we're praying, and the Lord shows you the need or the problem, and then he says, meet that need. Okay? This is what James talks about when he says, faith working together with works. See, one of the big things that's missing is understanding that faith working together with works is not something we conjure up to do. We're not saved by good works. Amen? No way, no shape, no form. However, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So it has to originate with the Lord. This tonight originated with the Lord. Enemy is not a happy camper. Now, could be one time that God does this in this one case. We have a tendency sometimes when the Lord initiates something, we kind of run out and want, oh, this is it. And try to, oh, this will be a ministry all the time we'll do. Uh-uh. Not unless God says so. Amen? The next time the exact same thing comes up, he may give you a totally different thing to do. He might take that person and assign them to one person and say, that one person's going to minister to that person for 10 days in a row. Amen? And every time that you do that, it works. That's the best part. See, Jesus said, cast the net to the right side. Jesus tells you where to cast the net. Amen? We're the net. We just formed a net. Okay? A net, she ain't, enemy ain't, he's ain't. He's not getting away with her. Amen? So, it's the praying, yes. But it's also the hearing and the carrying it out. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn to John. I've got about 3 hours of stuff to cover in a shorter amount of time. John chapter 17. Verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. Whenever Jesus is defining something, boy, I'm listening. What is better than getting a definition than Jesus giving it to you directly? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You hear this eternal life? Living forever and all that. Hey, unsaved people are living forever. That's not what eternal life is. It's knowing the Father and the Lord Jesus. This is eternal life. He defined it. See, I can tell you right now, in this room, we all don't have the same knowing relationship with the Lord Jesus. or the Father. It's different. What does he mean by knowing? I know him. I know how he thinks. I know what he'll do. I know his character. I know exactly. I know his voice. You ever pick up the phone? You know exactly who it is. They don't have to say. And other times you say, who's this? Who's this? Who's this? Who's this? You want a relationship with God saying, who's this? Amen? So it's not knowing about him. I know about George Washington. I know about Abraham Lincoln, but I sure don't know him. Amen? So, eternal life. There's the definition. Amen? Verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. How many want to glorify the Lord on the earth? Woo! Then finish the work he's given you to do. Amen? Folks, heaven is a lot better than earth. And Jesus said, I finished the work on earth you gave me to do. If that wasn't the case, as I have said before so many times, receive Jesus and head to heaven. Get going. This place is no bargain. Amen? However, he has a plan for every single one. He has a purpose for every one of you. He has the work to do. What work? The good work that he has prepared beforehand that you should walk in it. He has good works for each and every one of you specifically. Right now, there were 9 that stood up, and that's a good work that God prepared beforehand before the earth was formed, before the foundation of the earth. He had this good work in mind for each and every one of you tonight to walk in. Walk in it. You won't be able to count the blessing. It'll be so awesome. It'll be 153 fish, and the net won't break for each one of you. Amen? The work, all right, that he has. Now, this is not only on an individual basis. This is on a ministry basis. This is on a local church basis. This is on the body of Christ basis. There's going to be a time, I've got news for you. This is good news. There's going to be a time where the entire body of Christ is coming with Jesus to set up the kingdom. That's where the whole body is going to be all one. Amen. You got your horse picked out? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's going to be a day. All right. In the outline, turn to page 2. Now, here's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to use the front table here, and I'm going to ask you to turn, Vicki, to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews 13:21. Hebrews 11:3. This way we can redeem the time. Galatians 6:1, Pastor. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. And 2 Timothy 3:17. Now, everybody listen, because it's going to be hard for you to turn to each one of these, but they are in the book, so you can go over these on an individual basis. And I'm going to go down the line here, and they're going to read it, but I'm going to put the mic there so you can hear. Okay, first one, Colossians
2:10. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority.
Hebrews 13:21. Equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what was visible.
Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted.
And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
She's an administrator. She delegated it. All right. In every case, okay, New King James, King James, whatever version, in every case, in Galatians 6:1, restore. In 2 Timothy 3:17, fitted, thoroughly equipped. In Ephesians 4:11, equipping the saints. In the Hebrews 13:21, make you complete in every good work to do as well. 11:3, framed or formed. In Colossians 2:10, you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. In every case, it's the same word in the Greek as mend. That's found in Matthew 4:21. They were mending the nets. It's the Greek word kartatizo. And you'll see it on page 3 where it's kartatizo, noun, verb. Mending, complete, restore, perfect, fully furnished, thoroughly equipped, framed. Equipping, training, discipling, adjusting, repairing, set in order, making fit, making fully qualified for service. Now, you can read the rest of that. Get down to D. In classical Greek, the word is used for setting a bone during surgery. The Lord Jesus is now making all necessary adjustments so the church, the body of Christ, will not be out of order. Trust me, God knows how to get this done. We may look in the natural, and I don't look too close. It says looking unto Jesus. However, I know that when He's done, the body of Christ will be set in order. And the body of Christ will be a force in this earth that the enemy can't handle. Amen? Now, when we talk about kartatizo, this is what is the plan of God from the day that you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior to the day that you say, I've glorified you. I've done the work you've given me to do. When that day comes, that you can say, I've done the work you've given me to do, you can go ahead and check into the mansion. And I'll guarantee you, the worst mansion in heaven is better than the best house you can imagine here on earth. Amen? But I don't believe there's a single person in this room right now who's completed the work. Some of you are trying to find out what the work is. And that's okay. You're at some place along the Cartotizo road. See, the equipping. Now, the fivefold ministry, you turn over to the next page. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry gives you the plan. God lays it out word for word, exactly how He does it. He doesn't change from anything He puts in His word. He never violates His word. He will not violate His word for anybody, for any reason whatsoever. If He did, we'd all disappear. Because the universe is held together by the Word of God. Amen? And Satan would love to catch God in a lie. But you see, it's impossible for God to lie. So if he walked in and said, today's Sunday, it'd be Sunday. No, it's Thursday on our calendar. That's how powerful God is. Amen. So, in equipping of the saints, God has ordained not only five, but nine ministries or ministry offices. The others are found in 1 Corinthians 12. So, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, gifts of healings, miracles, administrations, and helps. The helps ministry in most local fellowships is non-existent. And yet it's a supernatural grace of God placed in individuals to be called to the ministry of the helps in the place that He put them. There isn't anybody that moves along, as you will, into a fivefold ministry position, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, who hasn't gone through administration helps or gifts of healings or miracles. None. This is why I run in. The last 30 years, I've run into hundreds called to the fivefold ministry. Hundreds and hundreds who never got there. So what helps ministry were you in? I wasn't. How could that be? It is any support role that is necessary to do the work of the ministry. For example, Brother Don, early tonight, was rolling these tables and picking these chairs up. Bless his heart. He needs a helps ministry because he shouldn't be doing that. However, the blessing is he's willing to. Because even when you're in a fivefold ministry position, you never are not in the helps position when needed. However, I'm going to get into agreement with him, and we're going to get a helps ministry going here. Amen? Amen? When a person, see, if you never hear it, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing the word of God. If you never hear that, you're never going to hear your call to the helps ministry. Now, this is another lesson. Listen to me very carefully. God can only communicate to you the extent of your knowledge. If you don't know what sowing and reaping is, he could say to you from now till Jesus returns, sow a seed, sow a seed, sow a seed. And Vinny would go, what's that? What's that? What's that? Why? Because he doesn't have the knowledge of the sowing and reaping. Amen? Very basic concept, but nevertheless very true. That's what the equipping part is. So that he can say something to you, give you an assignment, and you understand what it is. Amen? Hebrews says, be skilled in the word of righteousness. Do not be unskilled in the word of righteousness. Why? Because if you're not skilled in the word of righteousness, God can't communicate all of his will to you. Amen? So you say, well, I don't have time for the word. I don't have time. Hey, this is not earning your salvation. This is not doing good enough to be in the word of God. If you get into a legalism in the word of God, it'll never be enough. The devil will keep you running. No, 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 no. This is about God. I want to glorify you. I want to know the work. I want it to be done. And what I need, give it to me. And what we need in the equipping to begin with is we need to the Word of God to do the work. Amen? God never told us to make ourselves. He never told us to equip ourselves. He never told us to get good enough so that he can give us an assignment. He said, I'll do it. Well, how's he going to do it? With a word. The word that works in you. The word of God that you receive. Now, turn over to, we're going to go back in a minute here. Turn over to, how many don't have page 6 in your book? Okay, so if we have a page, if we have extras, Rose, give those, replace them. If we have extras, enough. Yeah, give them the whole book so they can. But if we don't, and there's still more, give them, I printed extra page 6s. Somehow, unbeknownst, page 6 never got printed in the first print. All right, so making sure everyone has a page 6, one way or the other. Now, let's look at this. Verse 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture. Rose, over here. Oh, she's going that way. The shortest distance between two points is a circle. Hallelujah. All right, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All in the Greek is all. Amen? And is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, exposing errors and beliefs not based on the truth, for correction, set on course, set in order, right road to arrive at the destination. How many of you got GPSs? I can't tell you the number of times I arrived at the end of their GPS instructions and it said, this is not your destination. It was like a vacant lot or something. I said, that's hardly the store that I'm looking for. What was the deal? A correction had to be made to arrive. And all the correction of the Lord is, you're off course. Make a correction. When a plane flies from Philadelphia to Los Angeles, it makes 20 or 30 corrections on the flight so they arrive in Los Angeles instead of like Seattle. who wants to get off the plane and they go, welcome to Seattle and you need to be in Los Angeles. Worse, how about you're going and going and going with the Lord and you never arrive? Well, where are you going? I don't know. How long have you been on the journey? 12 years. Really? Do you think maybe we ought to just land for a second and find out what the deal is? Amen? For instruction in righteousness, skilled in the word of righteousness, in order to discern good from evil, that the man, and I watch this in verse 17, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, which means mended, well fitted, be made fully ready for every good work. How many of you realize that God is in the midst of while you're doing a good work, preparing you for another good work? The nine that stood. While you're doing this, you're blessing Linda. You're being blessed. And at the same time, he's equipping you for the next one. So if when I receive, if I don't find out what the assignment is, I have a problem. I'm going to be, as they say, stuck in one place. And then the frustration starts to enter in. Why? The most depressed person you'll ever run across in your life is a person who produces no fruit. They're plagued. They're hammered by the enemy. It's a waste. The person who spends an entire day and does not produce, does not receive, does not see a progression is a very depressed person. And when that goes day after day after day, it gets worse, worse, worse. And we'll pray and we'll take authority in the name of Jesus and command that depression, and it'll come off for a while. Until you, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, make that decision, I'm going to follow him. Now, I want to tell you something. The fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, that God has ordained to do the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, is not by themselves the gift. I've had them stand up, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm a gift to the, you're no gift. The grace God put in you, that's the gift. See, I do what I do by the grace of God. Trust me. Ain't no special thing going on here. I'm fully aware, totally, that it's totally the grace of God. Okay, with me. And that's what needs to be understood. Now, what will help you as a member of the body of Christ, when you understand that, you're going to let the pastor off the hook. Amen? Roast pastor on Sunday afternoon is not on the menu. See, I'm not totally, completely, I'm not in a bubble. I've pastored, I know. See? Oh, the pastor, he wasn't good as he normally is. What was he talking about anyway? It is amazing how little prayer goes up for the pastor in most local churches. That's changing. God is setting it in order. Amen. But it gives you the opportunity to understand the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist needs the grace of God as much as you do. And oftentimes what happens is if you have a group of people that hasn't received the grace of God themselves, they don't see the grace of God in the other person. See, a person under the law only judges. That's all they do. Judge everything everyone does, judges everybody in leadership, judges themselves as bad as they judge anyone. You know, the Word of God says you're not to judge yourself. So I know better than that. I can show you. No, you can't show me the Scripture. It says that you are to judge to see if you're still in faith. It doesn't say judge your performance. There is nothing in the Word of God that says we are to monitor our behavior. About 15 people just got set free. I'm telling you, there isn't. If you monitor your behavior, the Holy Spirit can't lead you. Quiet. Don't stone me now. Give me a chance to get out of the building. Can't lead you. See? It can't be done by two people. Hello? It's quiet in here. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Show me the Scripture that says you're supposed to do that. If you can show me a verse of Scripture that says that, then we'll get it squared away. See, the Lord, okay, the Lord, Holy Spirit's the Lord as well, is the one that wants to lead us. Amen? Which one? I'll get it right after. Now, the key here is this. Okay? Those who are led of the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. Anyone who's not, then they're a child. They're a baby. See, I didn't give my children when they were 5 years old $100 and say, use your own judgment. He probably would have tore it up or wrote on it or something and thought it was something to play with. Doesn't know what $100 is. He doesn't know the difference between $100 or $1. Amen. So what does my 5 year old need to do before they can be entrusted with a substantial amount of money? Cartizo. Grow up, be equipped, give the knowledge, give the skill, the understanding of what to do. Jesus said, if you're not faithful in what is least, he's talking about money, who will trust you with the true spiritual riches of the kingdom? If you're not faithful in a little, you won't be faithful in much. He didn't say you can work your way into it. This is a statement of fact by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you're not faithful in the little, I want to say, in light of the Word of God, the 9 ladies who stood up, This is what I call a bubble job. It starts and it ends in 30 days. If you're not faithful in a little, why would God give you another assignment? And a bigger one. I want to do something great for God. Okay, hold the door open and close it during the service. I said I want to do something great for... Okay, here's a great thing. Help Brother Don roll these tables in after the meeting tonight. You don't understand. I do understand. You don't understand. That God is not a fool. If He wants to get something done, and it's His purpose and will to get it done, why would you give the assignment to someone who's unfaithful? It's quiet again. Well, why would you? There'd be no good reason to do it. It's very practical, isn't it? We wouldn't. Oh, Hannah, I just know you're not going to be faithful and do this, so here's another assignment. What? She happens to be very faithful, by the way. You follow what I'm saying? We want to jump over. We want to go from 5 years old to 25. Let me ask you a question. I think I got the right group, and I don't ask this question real often. What if you opened your door tomorrow morning and God gave you $1 million? What would you do? Well, you think you might know what you'd do, but what if Jesus showed up an hour later and said, God's Quest Ministries, I want you to give them the million. The whole million. Would you do it? Well, my answer to that was, because I had a man call me about 8-10 years ago or so, and he asked me two questions. He said, would you trade your relationship with the Holy Spirit for $1 million? I said, no way. That isn't even close. I said, there's no amount of money. Forget it. Then he said the second question. What if God gave you $1 million, told you the next day to give it to a ministry? Would you do it? My answer was, I don't know. It was the only honest answer I could come up with, because I never had $1 million at one time, and that question was asked of me, so I didn't know whether or not what I would do. But I'll tell you what, if God did do that, then you'd know. And there's a lot of things that God asks us to do, and we find out, then we know what we believe, then we know what we really believe, then we know. And the Lord said, son, I'm not testing you. I don't test you, I give you an assignment. He said, but sometimes I give you an assignment so you'll know you can obey. And he had me drive one time all over the place. Until finally I got to the destination and it was a person to minister to. It has happened to me. I said, Lord, what was the deal there? So you'll know you can obey. See, I don't know the million. Now, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what about this $1 million thing? And you had somebody call me. I said, why didn't you just have them give me the million? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, if you won't do it with 100, you won't do it with 1 million. That's why when God speaks to people, about helping financially, he doesn't start big. He starts exactly where you're at, because he knows. Just over the edge. You know what I mean by just over the edge? I'll do the 50, but don't ask me about 100. Now, John, you're talking about money now, and you just, you know, you stand the persecution of dealing with money with good reason, because that's what's close to the heart of people that rivals the Lordship of Jesus, the money, and God knows it. See, it's about the money. It's about the spirit of mammon. It's about Jesus saying you can't serve God and mammon. You'll hate the one or love the other. Why is this important? Because when you get assignments from God, as you go on, you say, I want to do that great thing for God, it's going to require money. Always does. And how to handle that money and have an understanding and putting that money in the place that it belongs. Every single time that you or I make a decision based on money, it is Lord. Are you still with me? How many of you know heaven ain't broke? How many of you know when God tells you, feed them, he said, feed them. How many of you believe it really happened? Raise your hand. This really happened. He took five loaves and two fishes and fed, we think, 20,000. How did he do it? He took it. He spoke a blessing over it. Be fruitful and multiply. He didn't pray, Father, help me out here. He already knew who he was. He already knew what the deal was. He was already in agreement with the Father. The Father wanted to, he spoke the blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. And he did it through the hands of the disciples. It multiplied through their hands. Why do you think, Lord, thank you, Lord. Why do you think that God so desperately wants the saints in the body of Christ to understand this concept of as you give, he multiplies it. He multiplies it. He's not trying to get money out of you. He's trying to get money to you. Because it's by faith that you do that. Why? Because we're blessed. Hello? Spirit, soul, and body, and financially. And so, I'm not giving to be blessed. I'm giving because I'm blessed. Well, I don't see it. Listen, folks, my bank account is red zero a lot of times. A lot of times. Okay? But I have as much as I need. For whatever God has called to do. Much as I need. And he's always paid his bills. Amen? Do you understand? This is part of cartetizo. How are you going to handle the money? How are you going to handle God? Now, here's the first thing of the equipping. Everything you have came from him. All your skill, all your knowledge, all your ability, the ability that Brother Jim has to play that guitar, which is really great, came from God. So the first step in handling the money is it all comes from God and we're a steward. We don't own it. You're a manager of God's stuff. Amen. So this becomes part of the being fully equipped. See, you say, I want to do something great for God. I may want to do something great with God. Raise your hand. I'll do something great with God. This is part of what it's going to take to understand that when God asks for the last 20 bucks in your pocket, He's not trying to break you. I'll tell you a story on myself, my wife. When God called us, He called me to sell everything that I had. I had a business and so forth. This is like 1980. And sow it. And so I did that. Then He instructed us to go to the Institute of Ministry in Bradenton, Florida. So we took the car, the clothes, the two little children, went off to the Institute of Ministry. The tuition got paid, which included the room, and I had zero money, I thought. So we went to the first service. Now, I'm not going to tell you the amount of what we gave. And one of the things the Lord told me later on, He said, that was little faith. At the time, I thought it was big faith. But He corrected me and said, that's any time you give money is little faith. And it's in the Word of God when He talks about that. Because He wants you to have the same faith that you act on to give is the same faith that appropriates your healing. It's the same faith that causes your whole household to be saved. It's the same faith that you use for anything else that money can't take care of. It doesn't solve a lot of problems. Okay? So we went to the first service, and I'm sitting there, and they're receiving the offering. And the Lord said to me, I said to the Lord, I'm nothing. I did it. I gave him. He goes, no, you have $20 in your pocket. I reach in and there's $20. I can tell you honestly, that last 20, I understood the widow's mite. For some unknown reason in my mind, which later on, I was astounded at how my mind was working at the time. I thought I needed that 20. I mean, I got two kids in the room. There's no food. The $20 might last an hour. And I'm thinking, I can't give this 20. I need it. Now, let me ask you a question. Who thinks like that if you're thinking normal? It's just $20. This is crazy. And so I had it in my hand. And the basket's coming down there. And finally I went, okay. And as soon as that money dropped into that basket, wham. From that point on, never worried about money for 30 years. Never have a thought about it. I don't care about it. I take care of it. I use wisdom with it. But it ain't getting me. Ain't getting me. Amen? So that's just me and what happened there. It's hard to describe. And afterwards I thought, wow, how could my mind begin to, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that was the devil. Well, I'm young in the Lord. I don't know. I'm doing all this. I said, the devil? You mean the devil can do that? Found out. Step by step, assignment by assignment, equipping, gradually going along, hearing the Lord, doing one thing after another, what He tells you to do. Mary, Jesus' mother, gave one good piece of advice at the wedding of Cana that should last for everybody. she said to the guys, do what he tells you. Amen. So when it comes to being equipped, let's go back over to, let me say this before I move on from the scriptures. By the way, this is a process that the Word of God puts you through. This is not either or. Everything begins with teaching. Everything begins with teaching from the Word. Everything begins with the preaching and the teaching of the Word. When Jesus healed them all, He preached to them first. Because the Spirit of God confirms the Word. Amen? It all begins with that. And as that teaching goes on, then there's a process of the tearing down out of us the error, the things that are not true, the wrong thinking, a way of thinking that isn't lined up with the Word of God. And the next thing that happens is the correction. People say, well, you talk about grace and this. What about repentance? I got news for you. Every time the Word of God is preached and taught, you're repenting. It's a change of mind. It's a change of the way you think. It's you changing. People come in and say, well, I don't believe it's God's will that everyone be healed. Okay, that's the way they think now. They hear the Word of God. Jesus never turned anybody down. He healed them all. Right? Now you change from that to knowing it's the will of God. Now, listen to this. Faith begins when you know the will of God. And you won't know the will of God without the Word. Faith begins when you know the will of God. How many of you know it's not the will of God for you to rob a bank? Yeah? I know it and they know it. Anybody else? I use that as a kind of an outrageous example. However, it's important to understand you would never have faith for it because you know it isn't the will of God. See, a lot of times teaching on faith gets a bad rap because what happens is they think what's being taught is, well, I can just pick out anything. I'm pick out that $1 million house and God will give me that. Does He want you to have it? If He doesn't want you to have it, you're not going to have faith to get it, no matter what you do. And then you get soured on it. It's still, your will be done, Lord, not my will. However, now listen to me, it still requires your faith to receive what He wants to give you. Hello? It's quiet again. If you're not going to function in faith, and you're not going to operate in faith, if you're not going to speak faith, then it's going to stay in heaven. And it's not getting to earth. By grace, through what are we saved? Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Abraham was reckoned righteous because he believed God. His life was hardly righteous. Man. Lied about his wife. Was willing to let her be violated. Save his hide. He tried to do the will of God in the flesh. Got Ishmael, which is where all the Arab countries came from now. But God said, He's my friend. Why? Because Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen. So nothing in the Word of God becomes real in our life and manifested in our life, no matter what God has said in the Word, apart from the exercising of our faith. How do you receive from God? You believe. Now, when God says, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation, turn over to that real quick. Page 7. We went over this somewhat, and we talked about the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. God is all about reconciliation. Whether it's an unsaved person being reconciled to Him, or whether it's a person who's away from Him to be reconciled. We run into two kinds of people that need ministry. Mostly. Either unsaved, and they need to be reconciled, or people who had gotten saved, and they're away from God, they're in trouble, they're in the quicksand, they're losing it, and they need to be reconciled. So everything that happens where ministry is concerned for us is to help that person to be reconciled to God or to know Him better. Eternal life. Do you understand? It's that when God brings somebody our way, like He did Monday with the three people or the four people that right after we pray, here's these people, okay? When He brings them, it's for the purpose of reconciling that person to Him. I don't need any followers. And neither does any pastor. Amen? That is not what fivefold ministry is to do. You see, Jesus is doing the job through the fivefold ministry, but it's Jesus who's doing the equipping. However, it takes fivefold to equip you guys. Amazing how the anointing of an evangelist, when they make a call, you know, five times as many people respond. It's amazing. But the number one reason that churches, local, and hey, listen, I am for the local church. Don't anybody say, No. Planted them, staff. Local church is God's plan. The church is His overall plan. But the local, He hasn't abandoned. You hear people say, He's done. He's not done. The Lord needs a ministry like God's quest to kick the local church in the pants. And kind of lead the way and say, this is how it should be. Amen? God's going to get it in order one way or another. Amen? He's going to get the job done. There's no question. He doesn't ever give up. He'll always get the job done. But you see, the problem is money. 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 It costs money to bring in fivefold ministry. It costs money to have in ministry on a regular basis, unless, of course, you're large enough, okay, which I believe God's going to raise up 7 churches in the area that are going to be large enough to have the fivefold ministry right there. But I can tell you something where money doesn't matter a bit if you believe God. I believe God when pastoring, and He brought in the fivefold ministry. He brought them in. He paid the tab. It was a done deal. He supplied. He did it. But hey, I had to receive Ephesians and say, Lord, I believe your word. You said fivefold ministry. You said I need them to equip the saints. You said this. And he did it. Now let me say this. Closing. The ministry of reconciliation, every single member has been called by God to the ministry of reconciliation. However, you must receive it by faith. You must receive and say, yes, Lord, I'm called to the ministry of reconciliation. Now, you listen to me very carefully because we're in a serious moment right now. Every person that believes, that wants to function, operate, walk in the ministry of reconciliation, the first thing that happens is you receive that by faith. And you say, God, I receive the ministry of reconciliation. The second thing that happens is you acknowledge that. And here's how tonight you acknowledge it. Every person, and I want you to be, I don't want emotion here. Lord, put their emotion away. I don't want emotional decision. I don't want you to be emotional in it. I don't want you to be talked into it. There is no problem if you say, I want to go over this a while. Okay? All right? Shake your head up and down. All right? But if you're one that says, I am stepping up ministry of reconciliation, I receive it, then I need you to stand, you need to come up, be anointed with oil, and the anointing of that ministry is going to come on you when we pray. But it's going to change you. And you're going to run into, see, well, let me just say this, why you have to think this over. God, in the moment, deals with us always according to our word. Even though he knows. You understand? When a person declares Jesus as Lord of their life, he believes them right then. And he deals with them that way. When a person says, Lord, I'm going to give a certain amount of money to this, or I'm going to do this, or Lord, the next person that comes my way, I'm going to witness to him. I'm going to walk in the ministry of reconciliation. That's what I'm going to do. He will take you at your word, and before you know it, somebody will be standing there who needs to be reconciled to God. Then it's up to you. You let fear bluff you out. You let the enemy bluff you out. You let the enemy run you off. Okay? Then what's going to happen is that you are then going to have to deal with it within yourself. I don't want you to do that. I would rather you sit and make a quality decision and be determined. No, draw the line in the sand. I don't care what you do to me, devil. I don't care what you bring at me. I'm doing the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to share Jesus. I'm going to give my testimony. I don't care where it is. I don't care who's standing there. I don't care. What I care about is the Lord Jesus, the gospel, and that person, that they don't go to hell. But I don't want an emotional thing. I don't want that. I want you to decide once and for all and say, I'm doing this. This is what I'm called to, and this is what I'm doing. And this is part of the ministry of helps. You understand? Shake your head up and down and say, I understand this. Okay? Because if you don't make the quality decision, it's your will He'll take care of the rest. But he can't make the decision for you. David said to Goliath, I will cut your head off. I will feed your carcass to the birds of the air so that they'll know there's a God in Israel. I will. Well, God was doing it.